thank you for joining us here on a Thursday night. Sorry I missed the beginning portions. Pastor Aaron and I played tag team while he was up here singing. I got to go run around with the kids and teens there. So if I'm a little out of breath, that is why. You guys don't have blackout night, but I did hear you had a little bit of a flicker in here. And that maybe they were just participating, you know, in blackout night. But that's what they're doing over way. You'll have to see some of the pictures later. But 211, they completely blacked out all the windows in 211. And they've got black lights in there. And then a curtain between the two where they've got light up, like kind of beach ball volleyball type things, and they're playing blind volleyball where you can't see the ball until it comes to the other side of you. It's not a heavy ball, don't worry, parents. You won't get knocking out their heads or anything like that. And then they passed out like glow wristbands for all the kids. It's pretty cool, actually. I kind of want to be over there, but I don't because of our speaker this evening that I get to introduce to you. At the beginning of our Thursday, or before our Thursday Bible conference began, really when we first announced it to you, I gave our riddle, and our riddle for the summer was, what does Florida, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and Iowa all have in common? And the answer was our Vacation Bible Conference. And because of that, I say that because we have speakers this summer from Florida, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and one, he now lives in Florida, but he used to be a Bible college president in Iowa, so we kind of cover the map. Well, today's speaker is from Pennsylvania, and I get the privilege to introduce him to you. He's Pastor Samuel Bariza. Pastor Samuel is the pastor at Open Door Bible Church in Pennsylvania, Middletown, Pennsylvania, and he's been there for 5 years now. Prior to that, he spent four some years in Lancaster, Pennsylvania as an assistant pastor before going to be the pastor there in Middletown, Pennsylvania at his ministry he's now at. He is a graduate of Northland Baptist Bible College, which is a college that used to exist up in Wisconsin. He has a bachelor's and a master's there, as well now as an MDiv from Virginia Baptist Theological Seminary. But all of that doesn't mean anything to us as much as most significant connection to our ministry, and that is that he's married to a Van Loo. In fact, he's married to the Van Loo's daughter. They met in college together, and they're here, and so it just worked out perfectly for this conference to have him be with us as well. And he gets the unique privilege of being the second son-in-law to preach, right? We had Pastor Chris Riggs, that is Pastor Van Loo's other daughter's husband. He spoke on a Sunday night, was about a year ago now, and now you get to be the second. You get to clean up with batting order of two, at least if that works that way. But we're so thankful to have him and his family with us. In fact, his two sons are also with us and over there with the Kitristi program, both Caleb, I can remember that one easily because that's my name, and William, and they're both over there having fun. And even Grandma and Grandpa got them Kitristi shirts so they could have Kitristi shirts tonight. So we're so thankful for them. We're thankful, of course, for the Van Loo family, but we're thankful for Pastor Samuel being with us. And, brother, I'll leave this clicker for you right here for you.
Thank you. Well, good evening. It's good to have you all here tonight, and I want to thank Pastor Caleb for the opportunity and the blessing it is to be able to open the Word together with you this evening. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 8 this evening, and we're going to be looking at together, trying to go as quickly as we can, but not too quickly, because we don't want to miss, I believe, what the Lord would have for us through His Word in the parable of the soils. Or maybe you've heard this referred to as the parable of the sower, or maybe the parable with the sower coming and sowing and the different hearts that are represented as Christ gives this parable. I want to thank the Lord for His Word and that it never returns void. And so as we come to His Word this evening, I'd like to have just a word of prayer as we open up His Word. Pray that God would help His Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts and our lives, and also that I don't talk too fast, because I intend to talk really fast. And some of you might be like, you're already talking too fast. But we'll pray that God will get the glory as we read His Word. Let's begin with prayer, and then we will read through the first part of Luke chapter 8. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening that we can have together. Thank You for the opportunity to gather as Your church. We pray, Lord, that You will bless Your Word to our hearts this evening. I pray that we will be able to have hearts that are ready to hear and to obey and to learn from Your Word through Your Holy Spirit this evening. We thank You for our children who are here tonight. We pray that as they also hear the Word and as they fellowship and have fun together, I pray that You will be working in their hearts as well and drawing them close to You, and Your Word will be planted deep in their hearts and in their lives. I pray that as we come to this passage of Scripture this evening, I pray that the distractions that we may have in the middle of a very busy week, I'm sure for all of us, I pray that you would help those distractions just to go by the wayside so that we can focus fully on your truth and your word. I pray that the words of my mouth, I pray that the meditation of our hearts this evening would be pleasing and praiseworthy to you, and we'll give you the glory for everything good that you accomplish in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This evening, I want to jump right into Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 4, and I'd like to read down through verse 15. And so what I'd like to do is read the passage, and then we're going to set the context just briefly, and then I'd like to walk through and look at four different heart conditions as we lead towards seeing a heart that God approves of. We want to be seen. We want to be approving to God in the way that we live and the way that we share the gospel. As I understand that even this focus of your vacation Bible conference is trying to focus on how can we share the gospel, how can we be good advancers of the gospel. And that's important that we know that we have a right heart that is right before God as we go to tell others about how they can come to know Jesus as their Savior. Let's start in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him, speaking of Jesus, out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables." That, and here quoting from Isaiah, he says that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, as we see this parable, this is one of my favorite parables. This is one of Christ's first parables as he begins teaching in mass to large groups of people. And the parable of the soils is one of my favorite because it speaks well to every heart condition that every person who's ever lived on this earth will have. And of course, we're talking about a spiritual heart condition, not just our physical heart condition. And if we want to set the context for what's going on here, let's go back to verse 4. And it begins with much people were gathered together. There was a momentum that was starting to pick up in the ministry, the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. If let's look at the first three verses, actually, of chapter 8. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 disciples were with him." And verse 2 is significant as Luke concludes this. "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him out of their substance." Jesus had a ministry team that was gathering. Do you ever think of Jesus having a ministry team? He did. He had his 12 disciples, but we see that there were other disciples who were following with him and were wanting to support his ministry. We even see that some ladies were included, and this was a significant thing in Jesus' day. And I think Jesus was trying to make a powerful statement that Christ came to save both men and women, and he wants to include them already in serving in his ministry with him. we see that Christ's popularity was growing, even to the point that people now were starting to join with him to support his ministry, even financially. We see at the end of verse 3 that these ladies and others who gathered with them were ministering to Jesus out of their substance. So it seems that they may even been helping with some of their financial ways of giving to the Lord's work, even in financial ways. But we see that, we get to verse 4, many people, it says, when much people, or perhaps a great crowd, have gathered together, they were come to him out of every city. So as we walk through here, as we walk through this narrative, we see that this great crowd gathers and comes to find Jesus. They know he's there, and the picture here that Luke presents is that they're coming, in verse 4, to him out of every city. And it could have been some of these people may have lingered with him one day and just kind of followed along, but there's a great crowd starting to gather. Now, many people were gathering because they had heard the amazing miracles that Jesus was doing. They had heard that he at least has to be a prophet. I mean, he's doing things that only a prophet of God could do. Not all of them, not many by far, truly knew why he came fully. But there was starting to be momentum that could this be the promised Messiah? Because he's saying things like no other prophet has. He's doing things, miracles that we haven't seen for hundreds of years happening. And he's quoting Scripture, he's teaching Scripture in a way that we have not heard. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they don't preach this way. So there is a gathering coming, and Jesus knew that as this great crowd came, these people were diverse in many ways. Quickly, they were diverse in regard to their individual residences. They all came from different areas. They came from different parts of the area there. But also, they were diverse in regard to their immediate purposes. Many of these people were coming because they wanted to just see a show, perhaps. Let's see another miracle. Or perhaps they themselves wanted to be healed. There were other people coming that perhaps were coming with a more focused worship incentive and wanting to hear the word preached. There were others, perhaps, who were hoping to see him say something about driving out the Romans. They're waiting for that moment. But all had different reasons for being there, and yet it all focused in on what was Jesus going to teach? What was he going to say? What was he going to do? These people were also diverse in regard, and this is where Jesus focuses in on this parable, they were diverse in regard to their spiritual heart condition. And Christ, who created them, who created us, who knows all things, knows what's in our hearts. And as he sees these crowds coming, he wants them to be very clear and very focused in the fact that he is coming not to change the world the way they want it changed. He's coming to change the hearts of people so that they will come to worship God, that they will truly be his children. So Jesus knew that many of the people who came to him had a bad heart condition. Imagine if you went to the doctor, perhaps this has happened with you or with a loved one that you know, you go for your regular physical checkup and the doctor says, you know, we've done some tests. Whenever the doctor says that, your heart kind of like, no, we've done some tests. Of course we've done tests, but you don't sound very happy right now. He says, we've run some tests and we're a little concerned about some things going on with your heart. See, we need to run some more tests to see if there might be something going on. It seems that there might be some blockage we're not sure about. Let me tell you, if that were to come to you or to a loved one, you're all ears. And all of a sudden, all the distractions of the day kind of focus on, I got to get this heart thing figured out. It might be bad. It might be nothing to worry about. We got to get this figured out. Well, Jesus is going to give a parable here that he wanted his disciples to clearly understand that why he came was to call people to worship him with true and honest hearts that have been changed into worshipful hearts for the glory of God. We see that Jesus gives a parable. He gives to the crowd a parable of these four different soils. We see this in, as we read through, if you look starting in verse 4, we see that he says, he tells them this parable. In verse 5, a sower goes out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. So we see one side of soil here is on the wayside, on the trodden down road. Verse 6, we see there's a rocky soil. Verse 7, there is a thorny soil. And verse 8, there is good soil. So he's going to give them an illustration that was very familiar to the people in that day. Jesus is the perfect teacher. He knows what we understand, and he knows how we need illustrations to help us understand important truths. And he picked an illustration that everyone would be familiar with. One of my commentaries I was looking at, it said, and I'll quote, Judean farmland in the first century differed from 21st century American farmland. Up in Pennsylvania, we have lots of farmland. We have really good soil in Pennsylvania. I grew up for a while of my life in Georgia. We lived 8 years in Georgia, and it does not have good soil. We call it red Georgia clay, and I'm sure you have a little of that here sometimes in Florida, but it is hard. You start digging, you get about an inch and a half in, and then you hit clay. There in Pennsylvania, you can dig, and you can just, they have beautiful dark soil, and there's a lot of farms, there's a lot of crops. But the way we farm today is much different than the way they farmed, especially in Jesus' day. Going back to this quote, it says, in Jesus' day, it was not the farm or the area you would plant crops. It was not distinct from the road. And people walked directly over the fields. There could be many paths, dirt hardened by the weight of travelers on a plot of land. The soil was too hard for the seed to take root, so the seed, as we think of those among the way, was snatched up by hungry birds. But as he's using illustration, in fact, he might have even been in a field. We don't know. He could have been in an area where people had walked across fields even to meet him that day. And we see as we look at this parable, the sower, he sowed his seed on both the bad soil and the good soil. There's something to be gleaned from that, I think. We'll come back to just in just a moment. But only one of these four soils had genuinely good, healthy, uncultivated dirt. And it allowed the seed to grow steadily and produce abundant fruit. We read the parable, we understand that, the last group. And as we look at Jesus exhorted, if you look at verse 8, he says at the end, when he finishes things, he cries out loudly, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He closed by saying, listen up. If you want to hear the word of God, if you want to understand what God wants in your life, you need to listen up. But then we see that Jesus goes and reveals the meaning, and really a shocking application of this parable to his close disciples. We see that, and that's what our bulk of our time is going to focus on, in this application that Jesus makes. And this is another one of my favorite parables, because Jesus gives clear application about how this parable is to be laid out. Some parables, he doesn't necessarily give the application, and as we study it, we try to understand it clearly. But we see here in verses 9 through 15, verse 9, the disciples come and say, hey, what are you really getting at with this parable? Because you didn't explain the whole full application, you said it, and what's the full parable? In verse 11, we see that this parable, the application begins. First, in verse 11, he says, the seed is the word of God. That's very important. So the one sowing the seed here is not necessarily the focus, because the focus is going to be on each of these hearts and the good heart at the end. But notice here, the seed is the word of God. I think this is a wonderful passage as you're thinking about evangelism, sharing the gospel. We are called to be going forth and sowing the seed of the Word of God. Whether it's good soil or bad soil, whether we think, oh, I think that person is ready to receive the gospel, so I'm going to share it with them, or man, this person is far from the gospel, I don't know. No, we share the gospel with all. We ought to. God's called us. He says, go into all the world, right, and preach the gospel. And so we see at the beginning, the seed is being sown, even if it falls on soil that is not healthy or soil that is ready to receive the Word. But let's look at these four heart conditions. There's four heart conditions here that we see. And the first heart condition we can see is a blind and a hardened heart. We're going to look at these just briefly and see how, and hopefully we can even look into our own hearts. Ask the Spirit of God to convict us. Perhaps are there areas in our hearts where we may be blind or we may be hardened to what God wants to do in our life. I pray that we all gravitate towards that last one. But there may be aspects in our lives where we struggle as well. First of all, we see a blind and a hardened heart. Verse 12, those by the wayside, and this would be the pathway, the road, are those that hear. They hear the word of God, and then cometh the devil, and taketh the word, away the word, out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is a heart that refuses to believe in the word of God. Have any of you witnessed to someone and share the gospel, and they're just like, I don't even want to hear what you have to say? You heard that before. And maybe that's the end of your opportunity there, but you've offered and you've tried to share. Or it could be someone that they listen and that you share the gospel with them, but it's very clear at the end they have no desire to repent of their sin, to believe in Jesus. Their heart is hardened. This is a heart that refuses to believe in the Word of God. But we see what causes this hardening in their life. Well, you look in verse 12, we see that the devil is coming, and as they hear the Word, the devil enters into their heart, takes away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's a sad verse to read. Yet that's happening all around us. It happens all the time, sadly. There may have been a time, there was a time in our lives where the devil was doing that as well before we believed in Jesus. So there's hope here even for these folks if they will repent. But at this moment, they are hardened and blind. Their heart is blinded by Satan, and God's word is not seen or believed for what it truly is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. You don't need to turn there, but it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So this is a blind and hardened heart. And obviously, there's no seed that takes place. There's not even talks about root taking place. The seed falls and it's snatched away, like the birds, snatching it away before it even takes root. There's a second heart that we see in verse 13. And the second heart is a doubting and fickle heart. You look at verse 13, it says, "And they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy." They seem to be well receiving of this. There seems even to be joy and happiness. And they say, "Yes, I want to believe God, word of God." And yet, these have no root, which for a while believe, or we could even say seem to believe, and yet in time of temptation, they fall away. This word temptation carries the idea of difficulty, trials. We've probably seen in this past year, as I was talking with, even with Pastor Caleb and Pastor Aaron and others at dinner tonight, just sharing how God is blessing and so thankful for what God is doing. And yet I know at our church, even in Pennsylvania, there's challenges with the whole pandemic that happened. And we were able to see those who were strong in the Lord gathering and those strong in the Lord praying and growing. And yet those, when difficulty came, who were not truly strong, it's been hard because we've seen them starting to fall away. Now, we're just talking, I'm talking, this is speaking more, I believe, about extreme suffering, like persecution. This heart rejects God and His Word when difficulty comes. How many of you are familiar with Pilgrim's Progress? I loved reading and listening to Pilgrim's Progress growing up. If you remember when Christian first starts his journey to the celestial city, he's leaving the city of destruction, and remember there was a friend that came along with him named Pliable, and Pliable's, "Yeah, I want to go to the celestial city. Who doesn't want to go?" And he's all excited to go, and then they hit that first difficulty, the Slough of Despond, that mucky place that Christian falls into and Pliable falls into, and Pliable gets out and says, "If this is as hard as it's going to be at the outset, I don't know what's... I'm gone." And he goes back to the city of destruction. This is a picture here of a heart that seems, "Yes, I want to be a Christian. Yeah, that sounds great to me." And then when they find out what the call really means to be a Christian, if there is suffering, they say, "Well, that's not for me." And they fall away. A doubting and a fickle heart. This is a heart that is fickle. It looks fine on one day, and then the other day, it's rejecting Christ. And ultimately, we see in verse 13, it says, they have no root. They were never truly rooted in a true relationship with God by faith. And so Jesus, who knows our heart, says, there are those who will hear. Notice, every heart hears the word. They've heard the word. This one seems to accept it, but when difficulty comes. In Luke chapter 9, the next chapter, verse 62, Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And what Jesus is saying here is, there is a heart. Disciples, you need to understand this, because now, 11 of the disciples, right? Judas is not going to be on the ministry team much longer, right? But 11 of them are going to go out, and they're going to be reaching the world with the gospel. He says, you need to understand that when you share the word of God, there are going to be people who are blind and hardened, but there's also going to be people who are doubting and fickle. And when, because of their fickle heart, because of their heart that is not moored and rooted in the truth, they will doubt God, and they will run from the truth when difficulty comes. But we see a third heart. This is the last negative one. But a third heart, and this is a distracted and a worldly heart. This heart puts worldly pursuits above delighting in God's word. As we come to verse 14, this is the thorny soil. So there was a road or the wayside, not even cultivated soil. Then we have rocky soil, and now we have thorny soil. Verse 14, they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. I understand that Pastor Caleb has been going through 1 John. You're very familiar, I'm sure, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eye, and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with all its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. This here is a heart, he says, becomes choked. So much to the point. Maybe you have a garden, you see as weeds come up and thorny weeds come around, and if you don't pull those weeds, they will choke the life out of that plant because they will absorb the water, they will absorb the nutrients that this particular plant is supposed to have. Jesus here, who created the plants, who knows how everything works in this creation, gives an illustration of thorns just growing up and choking out this seed. And it does not have fruit because it has yielded to the thorns, which here he says are the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life, the temporary fleeting pleasures of sin. I think this is one that we struggle with often here in America. Even if we have, as we come to this fourth heart, an honest and good heart, we still are tempted with many of these. And so I think all of us, at some extent, will struggle from time to time with this heart. There's going to be times when God's speaking to us through His Word, and we want to have a hardened, or we don't want to yield, or we say, I don't know, I'm really struggling, Lord, because You're allowing a difficulty in my life right now, and I don't. This is really hard. And I thought You loved me. At those times, we need to run to what God says is true in His Word. Not let our heart become doubting or fickle or hardened or distracted by worldly pleasures. But that's not the end. There's this fourth heart. This is what we want to focus on for the rest of our time together tonight. Verse 15. Love how Jesus says, but. But, in opposition to those other false hearts, that on the good ground or good soil are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And that word patience carries the idea of patient endurance. It's not a sprint, as you have heard. The Christian life is a marathon. And as the author of Hebrews will say, let us run that race looking unto Jesus. This honest and good heart does several things. We think of this heart. We see that this honest and good heart, it delights in hearing, knowing, keeping, and holding fast to God's word. It's not content to just hear the word, but as James says, it wants to be a doer of the word as well. And this word keeping or holding fast means like guarding the word of God. I am going to cherish this truth that God's given to me, and I want to know it. I want to know it so well so I can know my God and how He's called me to live for Him. This heart delights in pursuing what God's Word says is good and right in appearance. We're going to break these parts down just very briefly in a couple moments. But good and right in appearance. There's a word here in the language that Luke uses that speaks about loving what is good and right in appearance. But also, this heart loves and pursues what God's Word says is good and right in character. So not just in what looks good on the outside, but also what is right in my heart, integrity. I love what is good, this good heart, as one that pursues what is good and right in character. And also, this heart patiently perseveres and is rewarded with plentiful fruit. As you look back in earlier, it says in verse 8, speaking of this good heart when he first gave the parable, verse 8, and other fell on good ground, but it sprang up, and when he had and bare fruit an hundredfold. So it had a hundredfold return. We'll come to that just a moment, but an overwhelmingly fruitful, unmistakably fruitful life. So as you think of some observations and application really quickly before we jump in and looking at these a little quicker, we see that Jesus is speaking, just to rehash this, Jesus is speaking to about anyone who has ever heard His Word. There are many people who have heard the Word. This is why we need to go and share the Word. As we understand, some of us may be watering or planting. Someone else may be harvesting, but we all must share the word. But Jesus here is speaking about anyone who has ever heard His word. And that would be all of us here, because we're hearing God's word tonight. But we've also heard it as well, I'm sure. And while the sower is not the focus of the story, again, we must not overlook the fact that the sower sowed the seed on all four soils. I can't emphasize that enough. But while there are four heart conditions, okay, there's four heart conditions that we've looked at. We see that three of them, there are only really two categories. One category is evil and destroyed. Period. God, Christ doesn't say, oh, but they had a good heart, and so they're going to squeak their way in. No, they're either evil and destroyed, or they are good and approved by God. That's very important. Because we want to have that heart that is approved by God, that heart that is good and honest. So as we go forward, I want us to keep these questions in our mind. First of all, why do you gather to hear God's word? Why do you gather to hear God's word? You ever ask that? Why do I gather together? Is it just because, well, it's what we do on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever we gather together? Why do you gather to hear God's word? Secondly, which heart condition do you have today when it comes to hearing and obeying God's word? I pray that we all have a desire to pursue that good and honest heart, but could it be that some of us may have a hardened heart in some areas, or a fickle and doubting heart, or a distracted and worldly heart? Is there a heart condition today that God is calling you, telling you that you need to repent of today? Now, there are many parallel accounts of this parable. Jesus probably shared his parables very frequently as he preached around, and we see this in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. If you'd like to look at that and see that there are some similarities as well as a couple differences that Christ includes in those accounts. For the sake of time, we're not going to go there, but if you want to see a parallel account, go to Matthew 13 and go to Mark chapter 4. Now, I want to take note of several things before we move to looking at these hearts very briefly. First, take note of what we said, the historical context. And we kind of mentioned this before. I'll just quote here from Brooks in his commentary. Because of the primitive agricultural methods, okay, they didn't have John Deere tractors then, okay? An average harvest in Palestine was probably no more than 7 or 8 times the amount of seed sown. And a good harvest was probably about 10. Okay, so just think that in mind. If you plant these seeds, you hope to have, if you had a really good crop, you hope to get maybe 10 times the amount, 10 times a return from those seeds as they sprouted and had more seeds on them. And so the shocking surprise of this parable then, according to Wright in his book, says the surprise of the parable then is that a kingdom rejected by so many soils is astonishingly plentiful in its harvest with those in whom it takes root. Remember what Jesus said? How many fold did the good heart have? 100-fold. So this would be like saying, hey, if you make an investment in the bank, you get 100% return back. We'd be like, yeah, is that happening today? That's what Jesus is saying. An amazingly wonderful return of fruit comes to this heart, because this is not a heart that is consumed with sin. This is a heart that is consumed with God and is in love with Him and is seeing God bless His life. So we think of the good and honest heart. I want to quote from R. Kent Hughes, and he said in his commentary on Luke, he says, the seed of God's word does not bounce off the surface of this good heart. It does not momentarily flourish, only to shrivel under adversity. It is not divided by its competing desires and strangled. It is a heart that allows God's word to take deep root in it. It produces first a harvest of character, and then it produces a harvest of good works. And so the obvious reality as we come to these four heart conditions is that this fourth heart condition is not like the other three. I hope that's obvious to us. It is not blind, but it understands God's word. It is not hardened, but it is submissive to God's word. It is not doubting, but it is well-rooted. It is not fickle, but it is consistent. It is not distracted, but it is focused. It is not worldly, but it desires righteousness. And I would say to all of us, that is something that we cannot do in our own strength. That is only what God can do through His Holy Spirit. That's what He promises to do in our lives. That is why it's exciting to be a Christian, because you see God continually changing us. And yes, many times that change hurts because He's chipping away areas of my life that shouldn't be there. But I am seeing Him give me fruit. I'm seeing Him change our desires together as a church. And we are in the process of discipleship, daily progressive sanctification. And God is not expecting us to never sin in this life or to attain sinless perfection in this life. But He's calling us to pursue His word and to obey it by His grace. So let's very quickly, in the minutes we have, look at this honest and good heart. We pulled these up before. I want to just very quickly break these apart. Look at verse 15. Again, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We can see that this heart that God approves of, this heart delights in knowing, keeping, and holding fast to God's word. It's one of my favorite words in the New Testament, holding fast. It has the idea of keeping and holding fast. It's the picture of an anchor that is moored and secured and held fast, or a prison door that is shut and locked and holding you fast inside that prison. This is the picture of someone who sees God's word and it says, and they keep the word, they guard it, they keep it secure. And also, even before that, we see this heart delights in knowing God's word. It says, having heard the word, and we see this idea of knowing meaning understanding. This seems to imply a desire to understand for the purpose of obeying. You've probably heard that phrase, knowledge is power. I remember hearing that growing up. Knowledge is power. Well, knowledge is only power for the Christian when it is acted on in faith, trust, and obedience to the word of God. We see this heart delights in knowing, keeping, and holding fast to God's word. When you read God's word, do you delight in his word? And just think, I want to treasure this. My dad, I remember, had a security box at a bank, and in it he would keep some special documents or maybe some gold coins or special things just in case, so they would be kept very secure. When we read God's word, as David says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I love the word of God, David says, and I want to treasure it. Is that how we treasure God's word? We have it so freely and plentifully. Some of us may have two or three apps on our phone just to read or hear the word. Do we treasure God's word and have a desire to keep it? That's the heart that God approves. Secondly, we see that the second heart delights in pursuing what God's word says is good and right in character. And in verses 8 and 15, Luke uses a word, this word agathos, which has to do with being good and right in character. Now, in verse 15, he says, if you look at the second one, there's two words. You see that good is used twice in verse 15? It says, but that which is on the good ground, that's a word kalos, which we'll talk about in a minute. But this word here, the second one, on the good ground are they which are an honest and good heart. Here he uses a different word for good. It's the word agathos. And this has the idea of being good and right in character. There are a number of passages we could go to. For sake of time, we won't go there. But I think of Psalm 1 especially. Remember the man who is planted by the tree of waters. The blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we see that this tree that's flourishing, this is kind of the picture of agathos, if you think of it in this context. This heart delights in pursuing what God's word says is good and right in character. If you want to jot down, you can go to Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Luke 18, verses 18 through 19, and Luke 19, verse 17. There's a lot of passages where this word is used. But in these contexts, we see Christ teaching using the same word. But this heart also, as we talk about this honest and good heart, it also delights in pursuing what God's word says is good and right in appearance. And we see in verse 15, but they that is on the good ground. This is soil that appears good. You know, if you were planting some seeds in your ground, you wouldn't go and throw them on your driveway probably. I hope not. Because that's the wayside. It's not going to work. And if you're going through and you see these rocks and gravel in your for decorative, you're not going to throw seed on that. Because it's not going to grow there. It doesn't look like good soil. And you're not going to go, if you see all these thorns and brambles and everything, if you're not going to pull them out, you're probably not going to plant your seeds there. You're going to find that rich soil. Or you might have to go to Lowe's and get some topsoil and throw it down, or some potting mix. Because you want that good soil. It's good in appearance. You can even feel it. It feels moist and right. This is the idea of this word. This heart delights in pursuing what God's word says is good and right in appearance. It looks like a Christian should look. It acts like a Christian should act. And this outward testimony for this heart is one that matches up well with what God says is good. So I would just say to us, without going any deeper into these word studies, I would just say that both these words, the outward appearance and the inward character, are used of the soil. It's not one or the other. It's both. God doesn't want his Christians to look very good inwardly, but to live outwardly like the world. And he doesn't want them to look outwardly like perfect Christians on the outside maybe should look, and inwardly have a heart that is not right with him. It's both and. And that's the beautiful thing of growing in Christ. But lastly, I would say, as we look at this passage of Scripture, verse 15, we see that this heart patiently perseveres and is rewarded with plentiful fruit. This has kept the word, and it brings forth fruit with patience. This heart patiently perseveres and is rewarded with plentiful fruit. I want to thank those of you who have been faithful in your local church, praying, supporting the ministry here, encouraging the leadership team, helping one another as you gather together. Oftentimes I try to say it, I'm trying to say it more often to people as I'm greeting people as they leave the door, just saying, thank you for your ministry today. And sometimes some people look at me, I wasn't teaching Sunday school. I wasn't teaching it. What do you mean by ministry? You were here fellowshipping, worshiping together. You minister to my heart. You ministered to your brothers and sisters' heart. As I saw you greeting and talking and fellowshipping and growing, thank you for your ministry. Please continue it for the glory of God. This is a heart that patiently perseveres and is faithful in the little things as well as the large things and is rewarded with plentiful fruit. So in summary, as we prepare to close, I would just say, I want to read this quote from Green in his commentary. So then, authentic hearing. Because we've been hearing all these soils heard, right? All these hearts heard the word of God. Authentic hearing, or true hearing, is thus presented as hearing that leads to faith. And faith that leads to behaviors consistent with the word of God. Jesus' parable leaves open the possibility that some will fall away, just as it furnishes the canons by which discipleship or authentic hearing can be measured. I know as husbands, we need to always be learning to listen well, right? I know I do. As I think of this passage, Christ even closes, "He who has ears to hear, listen well. Listen well." Because you need to live for the glory of God. So as we close, I would just like to ask these, make some observations, application. First of all, very briefly, we need to realize that we need to understand in God's word so that we know what we should hold fast to and keep and why we should do that. Sarah and I were talking about this even today as we were driving. You know, the boys were in the car with Grandma and Grandpa, so we were on like a small little mini date. We were going to talk in the car. But just understanding, you know, why do we live this way, or why do we make these decisions? It's so important that we know why we make a decision as a Christian, or why we don't make a certain decision, and that it's more to the Word of God. Not just because my parents said so, or because my pastor said so, or because they said so, because what does God say? A heart that is good and honest says, I want to know God's Word, and I want to treasure it, because I know that His way is always best. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to God. That's why we want to be. But how? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Secondly, how we hear God's word will affect how well we understand His word. Do we come to God's word with a heart not like this, with closed hands? Okay, I'm coming to the service today. I'm going to open my Bible and read today, and I'm coming like this. Or I maybe come with one hand open, but I'm still holding, I want this. But God, this part of me is open. Or are we saying, Lord, I'm coming to you with my heart open, and please change me more like Jesus. I want to hear your word well so I will understand how you want me to live. Thirdly, we need to understand and embrace the reality that Jesus and his disciples, Jesus Christ's disciples, are not called to a life of ease, separated from trials or great difficulty or suffering. As we go and share the gospel, I hope you have many opportunities to share the gospel in your own home, in your neighborhood, at work, throughout the church, opportunities with Vacation Bible School. I pray that we're sharing the word, but realize that there will always be those who oppose. When you're opposed and you're doing what God's called you to do, you can rejoice in that. And that might sound like an oxymoron, but what does Peter say? Rejoice because you're getting to be like Jesus. Jesus was opposed for doing what God called him to do. We need to understand, embrace the reality. May we not be like that thorny soil who said, yeah, I want to be a Christian. And then when they meet opposition, say, ah, that's not for me. Now we have that good and honest heart. And then we need to learn through studying God's word how to delight in what God calls good, both in our character and in our appearance. As we said, God cares about both realities. One cannot exist without the other. You as parents know this. You don't want your children to just obey on the outside and inwardly be hating your guts. Because you can tell when kids are obeying, but they're really not obeying. God knows much better than that. Because I want you to obey with a whole heart. And lastly, as we close this evening, I would say, may God help us. We need to commit to holding God's word fast and secure in our hearts and lives. At the end of the day, it does not matter what culture or our society thinks about it. You realize that? I hope we understand that. At the end of the day, we're all going to stand before God, and God's not going to say, well, you know what? What did Fox News or what did CBS or what did they have to say about this? Let's see how this lines up. He's going to say, what did I say? Because that's all that's going to matter. And we want to hear, well done. Who are we more concerned about offending? Our neighbors or God? Our children or God? Our spouses or God? It really hits the rubber. It really hits the rubber home. We need to close. We must truly, at the end of the day, realize that the only thing that matters is that we are approved by God. As Walter Lightfield said, hours of praying and reading the Bible will not bring disobedient Christians as close to the Lord as doing His truth brings even the simplest believer. So as we close this morning, or this evening, can I just say this? God only blesses those who fully trust and obey Him with His gifts of eternal life. If we will fully trust and obey Him, He blesses us with eternal life. We thank God for that. But God only approves of a heart that fully trusts and obeys His word. So as we close, I would just say our big idea would be this. If I could walk away and leave you with one thought, patiently pursue God's blessing. Patiently share the word. Patiently pursue God's blessing by trusting and obeying His word with a good and honest heart. May God help us to do that by His grace as we do it together. We do it together for the glory of God.
Thankful for the message that we just heard. We're going to have an opportunity to reflect even in song. Number 86 is the song we're going to sing. God sees the heart. I'd like to read this verse to us before we sing it together. It says, "Our God measures man by a standard divine, for He sees underneath every outward design. He looks past possessions and costly attire. He studies the heart, every thought and desire." And the chorus says, "For the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. We have no secrets that our God does not know. Our Father knows our thoughts. He understands every part. Man sees the outside, but God sees the heart." I don't know if you were paying attention like I was, because perhaps not, because you don't have to study 1 John all week like I do. But there is a lot of parallels to what we just heard to the 1 John study we've been doing in Sunday morning, a lot of parallels. And what a neat corollary to even what we just learned from Sunday morning and what we're looking forward to learning this Sunday morning as well, this coming Sunday morning. I appreciate the message we just heard. Let's stand together as we sing, "Our God Measures Man by the Standard Divine."
Our God measures man by a standard divine, for He sees underneath every outward design. He looks past possessions and costly attire. He studies the heart.
Thank you so much for joining us, ministering to us this evening, even by your presence. We're going to close with a word of prayer. I'm so thankful for the Vacation Bible Conferences we've had, not only for the word we've heard presented, but also the opportunity to get introduced to other men and their ministries. And so like we did last week, how many were able to pray for Pastor Welker this week with me? All right, wonderful. Let's do the same this week. Let's pray for Pastor Bariza and his family at Open Door and the family members there that we haven't met, but we will one day meet, if not this side of eternity, one day in eternity, at Open Door Bible Church there in Middleton, Pennsylvania. Who would commit with me this week? I'm going to pray every day for this week for Pastor Bariza. Let's do that the same. Even close our service with a word of prayer by praying for the Bariza family and their church family there. And we'll also bless our food to our bodies like we did last time because we have a snack afterwards. Parents, you need to pick up your kids before you get the snack, but there are snacks outside. And please come back to us next Wednesday. We'll have the privilege to hear Dr. Thursday. I'm going to say that all summer. I know I will. Next Thursday, Dr. James Maxwell will be with us. Dr. Maxwell is the former president of Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, and actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. It says 10:45 a.m. Yeah, that's not in the morning. It's still 6 o'clock in the evening or 7 o'clock in the evening. What's interesting is they are both graduates of Northland Baptist Bible College, and their records are now held at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, because the college there in Wisconsin, now Faith owns their records. That's kind of cool. So maybe if you came tonight, you can come to hear the president of Faith, and you can understand the connection. That's obviously why we scheduled it as we did. All right, let's close our service with a word of prayer, and we'll be out this evening. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege it is just to hear God's word presented. Lord, may we never take that for granted. May we recognize just the wonderful, awesome opportunity it is to have God's word expounded in any setting we can have it. And Lord, as we heard, there are different soils. May we be kind of soil that is ready and eager to hear your word. May we have our lives studious in our studies of God's word that it may see in an outgrowth of our own fruit. And Lord, we pray especially for the family there in Open Door Bible Church. We thank you for Pastor Samuel and the word he presented. May you be with his family as they minister there. May you be with this church family as well. And Lord, as we dismiss and have some snacks together, may you bless the fellowship we have. In your name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed this evening.